For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Good morning. Time for another Central Minnesota Farm Report on a Saturday morning. It's brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. And well, we are just a few days away from Halloween. Any sort of holiday, you just have to check in with Gary Crawford at USDA. He always does a pretty neat job with a little history and origins of this spooky Halloween holiday.
Tonight, the great pumpkin rises out of the pumpkin patch.
Well, at least in the minds of Linus and the Peanuts gang, that's what happens. Of course, it's that time of year when millions of us are out there looking for our own versions of the great pumpkin for our Halloween jack-o'-lantern. But why do we do this? Why do we carve strange faces in pumpkins, lighting them from inside and placing them at our doorsteps at Halloween? Well, gather around the glowing jack-o'-lantern with Agriculture Department historical expert Ann Eflin for this old Irish story from about the mid-1700s, the story of Jack.
A drinker, a miser, a liar, a good-for-nothing character.
And as we open the story, Jack is being pursued by the devil.
In order to escape, he tricked the devil into climbing a tree. And then when he got the devil up in the tree, he cut a sign of the cross in the tree, and the devil couldn't come down.
Well, that made the devil a little bit mad at Jack, who did eventually let him down out of the tree. But when Jack passed away, he couldn't get into heaven, and the devil threw him out of the other place, tossing him a hot, glowing ember in the process.
And Jack had with him a turnip that he was eating, and he carved out the turnip, put the ember inside, and had a light that was protected from wind and rain and other things while he wanders the earth.
Oh, and wander he did, Jack and his lantern, thus Jack-o'-lantern. Ann Eflin says from that story, the Irish developed the tradition of the jack-o'-lantern. On October 31st, a night when it was believed that Jack and other recently deceased souls wandered the earth looking for live bodies to inhabit, residents would carve out turnips and put candles in them to either help guide the souls along or frighten them away.
When the Irish brought this tradition of the candle and the turnip to the U.S., there were not many turnips around, but we did have these wonderful pumpkins that were even better suited.
Perfectly suited for
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
And another big Halloween tradition. Yes, trick or treat, which Ann Eflin says may come from another ancient Celtic tradition.
Called guising, as in a disguise. Guising, where the poor would dress up in masks and costumes and go door to door, and they would perform in return for food and drink.
Later in Ireland and England, it became Mischief Night, where folks played pranks on each other. The Irish brought that idea to this country in the early 1800s, and by the 1920s, though, Ann says it was getting a little out of hand.
There's a lot of vandalism and crime and some violence. And there was an effort led to change the Mischief Night from having kids out running around causing trouble to having kids going door to door in costume and getting treats in return. It was promoted by the Boy Scouts and other youth organizations of the period.
It started out being called Beggar's Night, but by the 1930s it got the name it has today.
Trick or treat!
Trick or treat, that's right. In Washington, Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Alrighty, Gary, you always do a great job in looking into some of these traditions and stories surrounding the holidays and in big days like that, like Halloween for the kiddos. Gary Crawford at USDA. Well, we look at more agriculture news here this morning. And our friends up in Canada and farm broadcaster Dennis Guy has an update on the pork and pork shipping situation up north in Canada. Dennis, good morning.
Canada exports more than 70% of its live hogs, and Ontario is Canada's largest producer of market weight hogs, with the majority transported to the U.S. for processing. In late 2023, Olymel, one of Quebec's largest processing facilities, was closed, and this has only put more pressure on an existing Ontario processing shortage. According to industry estimates, there is currently a need for between 20 and 25,000 processing spaces for Ontario hogs weekly. For Stuart Skinner, a producer who farms in Perth County, located in central southern Ontario, all of his market-weight hogs are transported to a U.S.-based processor-packer. Skinner says that while he has an excellent relationship with his U.S. buyer, Skinner says that he would much rather have the Canadian industry and government invest in a domestic industry and keep hundreds of dollars per animal in added value here in Canada.
All of our pigs, every single pig we raise is up in the States, and we've got a really good chain that we're in. But that does remain at an industry level a challenge. Every week, we've got 20,000 animals leaving this province, and each one of those animals represents $300 to $500 of economic activity.
Last year, nearly 3 million hogs were shipped out of Ontario for processing because of a shortage of facilities in eastern Canada. Some of those pigs went to Brandon, Manitoba, but about four times as many Ontario hogs were shipped to U.S. processors. Stuart Skinner says that while trucking costs are high, Ontario producers have a relatively low cost of production, which was not always the case when competing with American hog producers.
What we have going for us in eastern Canada is we have really competitive costs. Gone are the days when Iowa had the cheapest corn. Iowa actually has some of the most expensive corn in North America, and eastern Canada is coming in on the lower end. The challenging point has been and will continue to be not enough processing in eastern Canada. We've got 5,000 pigs a week leaving Ontario to go to Brandon, Manitoba, 10,000 to 15,000 pigs a week leaving to go to the U.S. every week.
American processor demand for Canadian hogs continues to be strong, with extremely high costs to expand or build new processing facilities in eastern Canada. Stuart Skinner does not see the situation changing anytime soon.
I think a lot of processing expansion is going to be limited by the sheer cost of building infrastructure has gotten so high. It's very difficult to put together a good business case. We've got good costs on the production side, but unfortunately, like so many other industries, fail to add the value at the processing stage. And there continues to be healthy demand in the U.S. Packers down there want pigs.
Reporting from Canada, I'm Dennis Guy.
All right, Dennis, thank you very much. And finally here this morning, fellow farm broadcaster Chad Smith visits with the American Farm Bureau Federation in regards to the farm bill and a lack of a farm bill and how that will affect ag exports.
With the September 30th expiration of the current farm bill, many important agriculture programs are on hold, including several trade promotion programs. Betty Resnick, an economist for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says Title III programs generate outstanding returns for farm bill investments.
Title III is often called the trade title and accounts for less than half a percentage of overall farm bill spending. Half of that goes to an aid program called Food for Peace, which uses U.S. commodities to do capacity building, and the other half goes to export market development. These export market development programs have major bang for their buck, and a 2022 study found that for every dollar spent on these programs, an additional $24.50 of agricultural exports resulted.
Resnick says that Title III programs promote a wide range of commodities.
These programs benefit all of agriculture. That's one of my favorite parts about them. Over 70 organizations representing different products were awarded grant funding in 2024. This hugely diverse mix ranges from big commodities like corn and soy to smaller ones like hops, ginseng, and cranberries. As cranberries are really only grown in North America, export development dollars are used to educate consumers on how to incorporate them into their diet in culturally relevant ways and on their many, many benefits.
She says agricultural trade is essential to the overall ag economy.
About 20% of all U.S. ag production is exported overseas, and it's also $2 of domestic economic activity created for every dollar of ag export. So ag trade is important both for our sector and the economy at large.
For more information, go to fb.org/market intel. Chad Smith, Washington.
Alrighty, Chad, thank you very much. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report brought to you by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service. Also, just a reminder, October is National Pork Month. We'll have our Compeer Financial Half Hog Winning Drawing coming up on Friday, November 1st. Friday, November 1st. So another week to get qualified. Listen to Chasm Radio. Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. Have a good weekend.